As we let the Spirit of life come to us and fill our hearts. My heart is filled particularly this morning because we have the great privilege of hearing from some of our members who've been here for over 40 years and some even over 50. They've seen it all. From our humble beginnings in 1961 as a small group of dedicated families to our congregation numbering over 200 now. That must have seemed impossible to you at that time. They've seen us move multiple times, and each time they've noticed that the move has been worthwhile in some way, that it's brought us deeper connection, more alignment with our mission, and greater creativity as a family and as a community. So as we're poised for another transition, I wanted you to hear from some of our wise elders. They remind us to trust in this community's resilience, creativity, and resourcefulness. And I'd first like to invite Joanne Van Rienen up to share her thoughts with us.
The evolution of this fellowship has been truly remarkable in the last 40 years that I've been a member here. I arrived in California in 1983, and we were meeting in a church on Wilbur. Attendance was small, usually around 20. And some Sundays there was a minister speaking, but the majority of the services were lay-led. I had been a UU in several traditional churches in Massachusetts that had full-time male ministers. Picture the white colonnaded churches on the green. It was a big change for me, but I started to be on the board almost from my arrival. In no small part, I looked upon the fellowship as my new family, as I had no relatives on the West Coast. We made some more moves, but it was not until 1998 with the arrival of Reverend Betty Stapleford, that we had a full-time UU minister during my second round of being board president. Having grown up a Catholic, I was thrilled with a woman minister. The UU Association in Boston subsidized her first 3 years here, and we actually reached 100 members. I was never sure we would be able to afford a full-time minister, let alone paid staff. That was a big surprise. At that point, we were meeting at the Global Senior Center, which was a good fit for us at the time, although we only had it on Saturday mornings.
Sunday mornings.
Sunday mornings, you're right. we are Jewish. I just recalled that. Okay, so anyway.
Well, some of us are. Back
to the Sunday mornings, okay. I never thought we'd own a building outright. I've pledged regularly and contributed to the capital campaign that made that possible. Until we moved here, I didn't appreciate the possibilities of small group meetings, community forums, and interdenominational involvement that we have now. This fellowship has always attracted members who were refugees like myself from other denominations, as well as folks who had no formal religious upbringing. It's also attracted people associated to social justice work with fellow travelers. I am not an activist by nature, but I've been inspired by the example of other members who are, and I've surpassed my usual comfort zone based on their example. I've come to rely on the inspirational messages that I've received on Sunday mornings, both from our minister and from lay members on the worship committee. I'm grateful for the Zoom services that sustained me during COVID and continue to be available to people who can't attend in person. I'm no longer worried that the fellowship will become extinct. We've changed a lot since 1983, and will surely change in the future. I believe there will always be Conejo Valley residents and beyond who are looking for a church without dogma and with a progressive agenda. They need us. Their children need us, and we need them. Besides inspiring Sunday services, I've benefited the most in Chalice circles, where I've gotten to know members at a deeper level than over coffee. I've met so many interesting people here, it's almost like we audition for talent. I look forward to helping out wherever I can support Chalice in the future, and I hope that you do too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Joanne. And now we have a video from Floyd Martin, who, as I mentioned earlier, is celebrating his 60th wedding anniversary this weekend. So he decided
Hi,
to record
everyone.
For
my
us.
Name is, my name is Floyd Martin. Appreciate being invited to participate in this I Remember service. As a longtime active member and past president of our UU fellowship, I was a junior at Arizona State University 63 years ago in 1961. I read about the merger of Unitarians and Universalists. I was impressed with their leadership roles in forming our country, Constitution, and current civil rights movements. I vowed to check them out someday. Like most of you, Mary and I came from different religions and states. Mary was raised in the Congregational Church. I was raised in the Methodist Church. We were married in the Congregational Church in Phoenix 60 years ago on June 6th. This weekend, we celebrate our anniversary in Idlewild, California, with family and close friends. We moved to Simi Valley almost 57 years ago from Arizona so I could serve as the founding mathematics instructor at Moorpark College. Mary taught special education at Sinaloa Middle School in Simi Valley. We became members of the Congregational Church in Simi Valley. The church was in a home on a large property they owned and could use 24/7. The living room was the sanctuary. The bedrooms were the classrooms. As their vice president, I helped plan the building of the sanctuary on the vacant land in front that they now enjoy. All of Mary's and my church history was with churches with full-time ministers appointed by their denominations. Welcome, new members. At UU churches, our members are elected by the congregation after an extensive search facilitated by the Unitarian Universalist Association. The UUA facilitates communication between candidates and the ministerial search committee elected by the church. I was elected to serve on the committee to select our last minister before Reverend Mika. Every Sunday at the Congregational Church, members state their articles of faith. I had stopped saying it in front of my children because I could no longer accept it as truth. Wanting a new church home for our family, I attended Emerson UU in Canoga Park with our two oldest daughters over 47 years ago in January 1977. The minister informed me afterwards that a Unitarian Universalist church existed in Thousand Oaks. The following Sunday, we visited the Canao Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. They met at the Jan's house at the Canao Valley Arts Cultural Center. The sanctuary was the living room. The bedrooms were the classrooms. This was the same arrangement as the Congregational Church in Simi Valley, but our fellowship only rented it for Sunday mornings. All church business were in members' homes. I especially remember our family of five being enthusiastically greeted by Thelma Williams and Sue Rose Clans. Our daughters were 1, 4, and 6 years old. We became very active members. We both taught in the RE program. The fellowship had no employees. An LA UU minister conducted the Sunday service once a month. I chaired the program committee. We planned all of the other services. We studied other UU church bulletins and invited some of their guest speakers to speak to us. We did not have a choir. Records were played for music. Sometimes an acoustic guitar was played. Years later, Frances Pardee formed the first choir using a promotional set of scores from the Gray Hymnal published later. We now use this Gray Hymnal along with the newer teal one. We rehearsed around Frances's playing the grand piano in her living room. We did not meet in the summer. I planned camping trips so he could attend other UU churches in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. I planned beach camping trips every year with other RE teachers. We reviewed the RE materials on loan from the UUA to choose what we wanted to use for the following year. We would tell the kids what each kit was about and ask them what they would like to learn about if there was a choice for their age. Using Sylvia Johnson's publication, Our Church Homes, we made seven more moves since Mary and I joined before our present location, which we own and use 24/7. We are no longer the church in a box or wandering in the wilderness for 4 years, as stated before our present location. We have many more diverse members, outstanding leadership, experience, and resources than we had at any preceding migration. Let us all contribute our ideas, talent, and energy to make our next moves our most outstanding and fruitful, to continue fulfilling our mission statement to nurture spiritually courageous people who transform the world through justice and companion. Thank you.
Looking around at all of you people, and it's so thrilling to me to see you all and to realize what has gone into making this happen. I say that because 54 years ago, I went to a UU meeting in a very small room next to a basketball game going on at a recreation center near Thousand Oaks High School. I knew nothing about Unitarianism at that time, but I had been, as a minister's daughter, always involved in churches, and I needed something because I was a single mother with three young teenagers. I was actually looking for an extended family, to be honest with you. But I was also looking for some other kind of religious beliefs. And I walked into that room, and it was a welcoming space, just as Nika mentioned this morning. And that welcoming space that I've heard so many of you mention when you walked into the first Unitarian meeting that you ever went to. And a light went on in your head, as it did with me, and I realized, this is where I belong. Absolutely. I was welcomed. I felt at home. I felt safe. I felt so warm, and I was supported. And those 15 people who were there had my like-minded ideas. They said a creed every Sunday that exactly supported everything that I believed in. So I joined. And of course, as soon as you join, you're given jobs. You have to, because there are only 15 or 20 people. If you want to keep the group going, and if you believe in them, boy, you'll get busy. So, of course, I did, and I'm so glad I was able to do that. After a while, we moved. I don't even remember the first place we moved to after I joined, but it was eight or nine times, as it's been mentioned already, that we have moved in our history. Folks, it's part of our growth experience to pattern. We have this pattern to move. We grew and we'll grow again. And we continue to do so, at first in numbers. We attracted resilient, courageous, and wonderful members, and so many talented people. There's something about our Unitarian group that seems to attract talented people. And I'm not sure exactly why that is, although I really am. I do know why, but we'll go into that at another time. But these talented people are so willing to give of their talent. And one of the most talented groups that we had was the board, because as you've learned from Floyd, the board made all the decisions about everything. And it was always a strong board. And those strong leaders believed in the Unitarian beliefs. They believed in what we did. They believed in attracting resilient, courageous people. And each place we've met has made a difference. Each place we've met, and some of them, believe me, have not been the best places to have worship services, we've tried to make them as worshipful as we could, hanging banners and always having the creed said, because that was important, and also always having the same kind of worship services with all these talented people that we had in our congregation. So these strong leaders believed in the principles that we had. And at that time, we didn't have this mission, but we certainly had other purposes, and that's what they believed in. And they believed in us going out and talking to other people about what Unitarianism is. I don't know if you remember the 70s, but especially in the 70s, well, a lot of you don't, I know. But in the 70s in Thousand Oaks, we were such a conservative suburbia. It was absolute. They had a sign that said, get the U.S. out of the U.N. when you drove into town. I mean, it was so conservative. And all of a sudden, we had a Unitarian group here that was able to attract people, the few people that were liberal. But it was important that we do that. But just remember, folks, it's not the building. It's the people. It's so important to think about that. These are the people that have the strong support of liberal principles. They know our purpose, our covenant, and they're willing to speak. Sometimes, on the street corners, which I've done many a time, and I'm sure some of you have too. But it's the people, it's not the building. We continue to grow in any welcoming space that we are in. It's the people. We must continue to have a presence, especially we are all so concerned about what's going on in the world and in our own area and in our national politics. And it's important that we support the liberal principles that we have. We need to make our presence known. It's so important. I'm being a cheerleader, I know, about Unitarianism, but it's important that we let people know this. We must continue to be a presence in the community. It's so important that we work to make our presence and our purpose evident. We must be strong. Change makes us resilient. If we believe in our purpose, we'll go on as strong as ever. Change makes us resilient, inventive, able to look around corners and see what's happening. We're going to be doing that soon when we all move over to our new corner. Remember, it's the people. And you are the people with your passion and your belief. It's not the building. Remember, it's our history.
Thank you so much, Selma and Joanne and Floyd, for your rousing memories of this community and also your rousing call for our future. It's the people, friends. Aren't they remarkable? Yeah. We're so grateful for your commitment to Chalice for all these many years. And it's really generous people like you with determination, resilience, vision and dedication that make this place so special. You've all helped the fellowship in so many ways, sharing your time, your treasure, and your talents with us. My friends, we are who we are because of you. and so many others who've poured their hearts, their resources, and their time into making this fellowship thrive. Thank you all. As Thelma said, we the people are Chalice. We are who we are because of all of you. So my friends, with the fire of commitment, we can do this. In fact, we can do anything.